I'm super excited because our guest today is a guy who I think parallels your success and career as a celebrity, but also as an entrepreneur, real estate guy. He has his own TV show on Fuel. He is constantly expanding his knowledge, even though he dropped out of high school to be a professional skateboarder, champion, two-time X Game champion and world champion. He understands, like you, being on the road, what it's like to learn to love what you don't like or love about what you love. And that's really a parallel between you two and
should
me.
Should be a bumper sticker.
We got lots of them on this show, but let's bring them right on. Cause I want to get right into the deep seated, unbelievable desires of Greg Lutzka, the champion skateboarder, entrepreneur, and more importantly, my friend. What's up, brother?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I just, had our TV show, by the way. We just did season 7 of 2 Minute Drill. James was invited, but not obligated as he's on tour in Arkansas. It'd be hard to be in Orange County. But Greg's been on a lot of our shows, and I get to learn more and more about the acumen, skills, and capabilities that you have. But I had the same experience, James. Man, the first few seasons of the TV shows I do, I did not have as much fun as I'm having now. It's like, so
interesting,
and everything goes well. Like, even the things don't go well, they seem like they're going well. Greg, I'm just curious with you, have you had the same experience in your career of things that maybe started were extremely challenging and today are easy without that dis-ease?
Yeah, I mean, when I first came to California, as you kind of mentioned, you know, I did drop out of high school. I followed my passion for skateboarding. It was everything to me. You know, I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I took one of the biggest risks of my life to move to California and kind of go on that journey. And I'm grateful I did that now. I've met some amazing people along the way and built one heck of a career, you know. We also have a documentary out on it, you know, One Way Ticket. So it turned in my whole life story, turned into something now. It's on Apple TV. But yeah, getting back to your question, you know, when I first came to California, it was like I was on vacation, right? And I had a couple friends that moved out there with me. And they, you know, I think we all got homesick at one point. And two of them moved back. And then I was kind of out here by myself. So it went from like moving to California, turning into being this pro skateboarder, having a lot of fun, to like almost getting homesick. And at that time, the Almost Round 3 video came out with Rodney Mullen and Daewon Song. And they had me just traveling a ton. I mean, just like nonstop every weekend. And I kind of got burnt out, to be honest. And I remember having to go back to my hometown, taking a little break for, you know, a month or two. And I remember Rodney Mullen calling my dad, like, is he going to be okay? You know, like I just got burnt out and homesick and just kind of like, and my dad just kind of went, look, if you come back here, you know, I don't know if it's the best move. You're not going to be able to be a pro skateboarder. You kind of got to live in Southern California to do this. Right. So my dad ended up traveling with me a bit. Cause I was kind of gave him the attitude like, hey, you get on the road with me then. All right. And so I took him to Africa. I took him to Europe. We did all this. He goes, yeah, it's not as easy as what it seemed to be, you know. Now I'm very grateful. And, you know, I got through that, but there was definitely like through my career, like ups, you know, and then making it to like the top and winning X Games and traveling to like getting burnt out to where like going home and being homesick and like thinking I was going to maybe give up on my career to like rebacking into it, like, all right, like this is really what I want to do. And I think that's like anybody. I mean, you travel a lot, David, so you kind of know, like, being on the road, and James, you as well, being on the road, like a lot of people, you know, thrive, like, yeah, I want to travel, but then sometimes when you do it for what you do for work, and I skateboard's my passion, but it turned into like almost like a job, and sometimes it takes the fun out of it. It really does, you know. And I had to get back to that roots of like becoming like this, you know, being that kid that loves skateboarding, but actually taking it as a career and understanding that now it is kind of a job and I am obligated to be at these spots at a certain time doing autograph signings and things I just almost didn't want to do. I just love skateboarding, right? That's all I want to do. But when you're a pro athlete, there's so much more responsibility than just riding your skateboard, you know? So, I mean, there's like any career, you know, there's a lot of ups, there's a lot of downs. I can't just talk about, oh, it's always up, 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 because that's not the reality of what it
just,
is.
Just your bank account, like James' bank account, up, up, up in a way. And it's my job to make sure that you don't pay the dummy tax like I did after so many years of going up, up, up. It goes down a lot faster. And I take personal empowerment in both of you to make sure that you continually go up, up, up. James, so many parallels to draw from. What are you thinking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. I'm just kind of relating this to a lot of the different things I have felt and been through over the years. But to the same point of having more fun doing it now, you know, one of the things you mentioned, Greg, is you do something because you love it. You know, I got into acting and singing. So I'm like, that's badass. I can do that well. I happen to do this. This is fun. Hey, man, now I get paid to do it for a living. But then to your point, there are so many things that come along with it, right? Like getting stopped when you're out and about. And it's an interesting transition how the first time you get stopped, you're like, oh, this is cool. People like me. And then a couple hundred times later, when you're interrupted at dinner, you're like, you know, you kind of put up this wall of like, what the heck? I didn't ask.
I got to interrupt you, James. You know? See, you guys blew it. See, I've been around famous people when I was with Lee Steinberg in Sports One Marketing. And I realized that I live the best life because I'm literally one person a day. That's all I get.
So no, you got it right. You got a nice balance.
I'm still in the mode, man.
All the money and just a little bit of the fame. But yeah, to my point, just to finish the point, what's happened now is I've got so much more perspective and so much more experience that I just have this complete understanding of the reason I'm getting stopped is that these fans care. And the fact that these fans still care and I have more that continue to care is why I'm still touring and acting and building a real estate portfolio. It is the basis for all these other things that I get to do. And I think it sounds like you're at a similar point too, where it kind of comes back around to the beginning where you go, man, I'm so lucky to do this. And I'm going to do everything I can to service these fans who are there for me. But that takes perspective. And it also takes the know-how of not feeling bad, saying, hey, definitely, let me just finish this meal. If you can wait 15 minutes, I'll be there and take a photo. And you kind of develop that rapport and that dialogue. But one thing you said that I have a question about, you're saying that in order to become a professional skateboarder at the time, you had to be in Southern California. That was the same thing as an actor. You know, I had to be in Los Angeles to do that. And that shifted a little bit since COVID. You know, one of the silver linings of that time is you can become an actor from your bedroom now. All of us, including myself, for, you know, first audition, send in a tape for the most part. Did that apply or does that apply to the skateboarding world?
Well, you know, maybe, but I guess it has changed over the years, you know, because a lot of stuff is social media driven and online. And, and you know, when I first came here, it was all about getting in the magazines, being in Thrasher, being in Skateboard Mag, all that kind of stuff. As you can see, there's like covers of myself on the Skateboard Mag, where now some of the magazines are gone. You know, it's like it's a lot of it is online. Yeah. So but, you know, the real reason, especially for me, a lot of my sponsors were here, which including like this is kind of the mecca of like skateboarding. Right. At the time, I wrote for Volcom and Oakley and Globe Shoes and Almost Skateboard. All these brands were here. So like if I'm in the Midwest where I grew up, I'm just not connected with being around the team and around the brands that I'm working with. Right. So I guess it has changed a little bit, but I think at the end of the day, man, like Southern California has a lot of opportunity, right? It really does. And there's definitely the surf world's here, the skate world's here. It's, you know, outside it's 80 degrees all year round, you know, in the Midwest, 6 months out of the year, man, it's snowing, dude. How are you going to be skating? You know? So there are some other skaters, and I don't want to like bring up names, but like someone like Chaz Ortiz never really left Chicago. Right. And he did make a career for a long time because he rode for Zoo York, which is an East Coast company. But I feel like, you know, if he would have made that move to California, he would have prolonged his career even longer. And, you know, it's one of those things like, yeah, I think Southern California definitely has opportunity. I'm very grateful to be doing what I'm doing and being 40 years old and still, you know, being an influence in skateboarding and doing what I'm doing. And one of the biggest things for me now is actually helping out that next generation of skaters. So now I have like my skateboards that sell at Walmart. They're entry-level skateboards, right? We came out with the documentary, the One Way Ticket documentary. As David mentioned, we now have a TV show called Next Gen, which is all about bringing up the next generation of skateboarders. It's a competition elimination show. We have a school platform. We have over 8,500 kids in there now that we built within 8 months, you know? So like, I think I got a lot of opportunity being a pro skateboarder and I'm grateful for that. And I love skateboarding, but now I'm at the point where I'm like, I want to help out that next kid. I want to give that next kid that opportunity. And David, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm working on a course now. I've been taking all these different courses, right? Like I invest in the real
estate. You have your school community, man. I gave him one little piece of advice. He got more people in his community than I have his school. So I know you have that education. Nice. Just to interrupt you, in the respect of celebrity entrepreneurship, one of the other parallels between James and you is you both sought advice and still do on how to make money, real estate, all types of strategies that you have in business. And I know both of you have humility. I mean, it's hard when you're on the biggest stages in the world, and both of you are. Both of you have won awards. You're on the biggest stages. You get stopped more than once a day. So you're like real famous, not just you famous. When you go to a club, they'll let you and the posse in. When I go to a club, they're like, just you. Even my wife can't get in. Thank God I'm old and don't go to clubs anymore. Yeah. But, you know, how important, you know, James, talk about the mentorship, and then Greg, comment on it. You know, mentorship is a big part of my life, and I'm 57 years old, and that's the reason I lost everything. I had no mentors.
Yeah. It's one of the biggest superpowers that I have, and it's not mine. Right. I give a lot of this up to people like yourself, David, and mentors in my life, that I have the ability to go, hey, I don't know how to do this. Right. And there's several ways in which I can start. And if you have no mentors, you can go to ChatGPT and you can research and you can find books, and you should do all those things. But, you know, it sounds like Greg's in the same boat. We have the ability. We've met people and developed relationships with people like yourself, David, where I can pick up the phone, go, hey, dude, do you know anything about this? And the cool part about a mentor is, David, even if you don't, you're going to know somebody who does. And so it's that guidance that points us in the right direction to, like you said, not make a lot of the same mistakes or have to go through a lot of the same BS that you and these other mentors did. So it's something I encourage so many people to do. And I think the only reason why some people don't, it's out of fear for not knowing what to ask or being embarrassed or not knowing enough. And David, you tell me, if I called you for the first time and I was like, I don't really know what to ask, but like, can you tell me about real estate? Would you say, oh, you're silly, you don't know anything? Or what would your response be?
Yeah. So mine's always an open-ended question guide that I follow. So I'm going to say, what are you doing today in real estate? You know, and it could be, hey, I'm just researching it. Or it could be, I own a multi-unit in, you know, Costa Mesa. I don't care. But then I ask, hey, what's working? What's not working? What do you like? What don't you like? And what do you know? And what don't you know? And I explore all six of those things so that I can get to my favorite question, which is, would it help you if? And that's my main goal when anybody calls me for help, is to figure out, how can I help you? And I utilize this open-ended question guide and the facilitated transition question of, would it help you with? In fact, you guys probably had no idea, but when we first met, I was asking you questions to figure out what was working, what wasn't working, what you like and don't like, and what you know and what you don't know. And both of you, I'm proud to say, I was able to ask, hey, would it help you if I introduce you to this guy or gave you some information on this type of
tax? You proved my point right there. You would encourage that person like you've encouraged us.
Absolutely. So
that's just the end of my spiel. Ask away. You're going to be encouraged by people who are more successful than you. You're not going to be discouraged.
Yeah. I mean, even for me, you know, dropping out of high school and like kind of hating school and just going against the grain, and skateboarding was, you know, I think skateboard, especially at a young age, very rebellious, right? And then now it's like, I'm at the point, and I told my dad, you know, I went to a tax deed course, and then I just did Andrew's course from Aspire, you know, about learning about saving on taxes and all that kind of stuff. So like, he's like, it's so crazy, because now you're all interested about learning and going to school. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to learn in the way that I want to learn. That's going to help benefit, you know, because I feel like financial IQ is one of those things that they don't really teach in school. You don't really get in college. David, as we did your show, film season 7 the other day, one of the kids that won, it was a financial IQ, really cool game that I thought was freaking amazing, right? And he ended up winning that, or we ended up picking him for that episode. But financial IQ is so important. I take all these different courses now, and it inspired me to actually go do my own course now. And I want to, I'm working on building a course that's basically about what's the difference between brand ambassador, sponsorship, and licensing. And mainly, like, I started with sponsorship, right? I had all these big sponsors, right? And put my name on the boards. And now I do a lot of licensing deals. You know, now we have licensing deals with like Tech Deck and clothing in Walmart and stuff like that. And a lot of people don't know about licensing. Yeah, maybe Tony Hawk does, or Scheckler maybe has done some licensing, Rob Dyrdek. But the majority, and you know, as me coming up, if there was a course out there I could have took that would have got me further ahead, I would have got there quicker. You know, so it's really inspired me to help out other people. Through David's network, you know, I've met a lot of great people. And I think, you know, without putting yourself out there and being open-minded, you know, and you got in life, you got to want, right? You got to want to do it. No one can push you. Yeah. You got to want to go out there and make it happen. And networking is huge for sure. And I've learned that over the years, because when I first came to California, I was just about skateboarding. And I'm sure you with acting, yeah, right? Just here on acting, right?
I was a terrible networker. I was like, I don't want to ask for any favors. I just want to be great.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you kind of got to know people. They got to know you too. Yeah. Just to chime in on the financial IQ and financial literacy, because I have been in high schools and colleges. I'm doing a lot more speaking and motivating. And one day, actually, when I was in Florida, I was even asked to go and teach a couple of courses. And one of them was financial literacy. And so I had a very interesting interaction with a bunch of seniors in high school. What I realized is most of the kids in that class were really bored, despite me giving them what I thought was some really tangible, helpful information, versus teaching the theater class where they're all like psyched out, James does this directly. I want to be like James doing this. So they listened. But I think, Greg, and tell me if you've had this experience, because I'm sure you mentor a lot of kids. The reason why a lot of these kids seemed uninterested is because they didn't think that any of these things I was teaching them applied to them. They're like, yeah, well, whatever. I don't have money yet. So what does it matter? And I think that's to your point, like, kids may be much more interested in your course because they want to be skateboarders. Like, oh, yo, I do want sponsorships. That's going to apply to me. So they're going to go and learn that. We got to encourage people, like, you're going to have jobs. You're going to make money soon, whether it's a little bit of money or a lot of money. Boom, very soon, before you realize all of this stuff applies to you. And that's when it does get interesting and exciting.
Yeah. I think as I got older, I got more like wanting to learn more about, investing and, you know, because I grew up in the Midwest where our family didn't have a lot of money. We just learned as we went. I mean, I was blessed that, I had mentors like Chet Thomas, Rodney Mullen, that Chet had me open up my business, my S Corp at age, like 19. So the companies would pay the S Corp, right? And then I would have all these write-offs. So I'd be able to write off my plane tickets, my food, all kinds of things. And if I would have just started paying myself, I would have paid a ton of money in taxes, had no write-offs, So like, as I got into skateboarding, I was always hanging out with guys that were older than me that were teaching me things, right? And then, I bought my second house in Mission Viejo, and I'm so grateful that I met who I met, because my neighbor, Ben, got me into real estate. He's like, well, what do you do with your money? And I'm like, and at that time, I was just focused on skateboarding, going out, hanging out with chicks, like not really paying attention to like what I was going to invest my money into. And he got me into buying real estate in Arizona. And after that, it kind of snowballed effect, and I got more and more and more and more. And then all of a sudden, like next thing you know, I got all this passive income coming in from a different area and not having to worry as much later in life about sponsorship, right? And then when I bought my third house, my neighbor across the street here got me into investing into Michigan. And then we own also a storage facility in Ohio. So he kind of brought me into like back investing where I ultimately where I grew up, I see the power and, I've had a Airbnb. That was a lot of work, by the way. So I've learned like different investments.
I just pulled out of six Airbnbs for that exact reason. There's just enough red flags. I'm like, I like long-term. So again, you said that there's so many parallels here. Technically didn't graduate high school myself, opened up my first S Corp at 19 and had a manager that said, what are you doing, kids? Start buying real estate. Don't spend money until you buy your first house, which I bought at 22. And have built since there. But I love it, dude. It sounds very similar to my story.
Yeah, we may have to start our own S Corp, and it's amazing. I wanted to also show you guys, I'm not sure you can read this, but this is our new brand, and it's purposely
made from mistakes.
Made from mistakes, perfectly the mistakes in it. We definitely are all made from our mistakes utilizing the mentorship. What I love also about you two guys is how important it is to show up. And a lot of people don't realize how difficult it is to be consistent and to be who you are in what your skill is, your main business, skateboarding, Greg, and the arts, James, and singing and dancing and acting, which you're amazing at. You are not overnight successes. You may have started early, but it wasn't an overnight success. And I want to reiterate and finish with that point of how important consistent behavior is. And we started with learning to love what you don't like or love about what you love. And, I don't know anyone that it every single day is loving practice. And it takes a lot. But those who learn to love what they don't like or love, especially the practice of what they love, are the best at what they do. Greg, just as we finish up, how important is that consistent behavior that made you what appeared to be an overnight success?
I mean, yeah, I started skating at, you know, I didn't like practice. So let's start with that. Cause I started playing ice hockey, right? At age two, my dad, we grew up in the Midwest and my dad was big into ice hockey. I started skateboarding at age eight. And the reason why I quit playing ice hockey, cause I didn't like going to practice. I like playing the game, but I didn't like going to practice. Where skateboarding kind of opened up my mind to be able to do it when I wanted, how I wanted. But ultimately I loved it so much that I didn't even realize it, but I was always practicing. But in my mind, I was just always skating. Right. So I think with a traditional sport, kind of like ice hockey, like it's very separate. Like, all right, we're going to practice today. And then, you know, today we're playing the game. Where skateboarding, you're kind of just always skating. So I guess you're always practicing. So I'm never really thinking I'm practicing, but I guess there's just over the years, just always skating. And then what the cool thing about skateboarding too, like everyone kind of like supports each other. I mean, obviously there's contests and when you're in the contest, you're kind of competing, right? But you're actually looking up to other dudes in skating, right? So like ultimately that's pushing your level to get to that next point. You know what I mean? So when I would go skate with, like, especially when I first came to California, like seeing some of my idols, like Jeff Raleigh, Jamie Thomas, Mark Appleyard, one of them who I skated with a ton when I first moved here. Honestly, I was looking up to him as I'm skating with him. So he was pushing me to get to that next level, you know? So, and skateboarding is one of those things. I'm sure it's with acting and what you do as well, James. I don't think there's ever a cap. You know what I mean? Like it's like there's always more to learn. There's always another level to get to. And I think as you get older, you're just more open-minded. You know, I think with like maybe with acting, you know, maybe you start in comedy and then you get into a different role, you know, that you're not really entwined with, you know, and you're pushing yourself to do this role that's completely different than what you're used to. Same with skateboarding. You know, you start maybe skating, I don't know, for me, like I was a street skateboarder and then started skating mini ramp and then started skating bowls. And then all of a sudden now I'm like more of a diverse skateboarder. So now when I go to the contest, I'm able to win these things. So I can hit the quarter pipes. I can hit the rails, you know what I mean? And there's always progression to be made, you know what I mean? But back to your question, like, I guess I was always practicing without knowing I was practicing and just always trying to push myself to the next level. You know what I mean?
I love it.
And having fun doing it, you know, that was the ultimate thing. And if you ain't having fun doing what you're doing, or if you're not having fun or love what you're doing, then why do it? You know what I mean?
Any parallels there, James?
That's awesome. Well, one question I just wanted to ask, how long would it take for you to teach David how to do a kickflip? $1 million in the line. How long is this taking?
Oh man. That's one thing I'm not the best at is teaching skateboarding. I can teach kind of the business side of things and like how I get my sponsors, how I negotiate ideas, but teaching someone.
Some things are a little more innate.
Well, the other thing I grew up in San Diego. I'm the exact same age as Tony Hawk and have known him.
I wish
I would have skated with him more, but I personally would challenge myself to figure. I would give myself, if I consistently practice 3 months, I could do one.
I could get okay, you.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Well, the only thing I want to add to that, what Greg said, is showing up is extremely important and something that I've been reminded of later in life in the last couple of years. And I think about often is it's not just showing up to this, showing up to meetings, showing up for your friends and your business partners. You have to show up for yourself. Right. And that means holding yourself accountable with reminding yourself, like, who do I want to be? Okay. Make sure that I am actually putting forth the energy, effort, making the decisions to be that person. So if it's your, you know, you want to get in shape, but you're just not getting there. Don't make excuses. Don't complain. Maybe you're not showing up for yourself. Maybe you're not holding yourself accountable and actually, you know, eating what you know you should be eating, going to the gym. And the same thing is with the practice. The same thing is with your entrepreneurial goals. Set them out and then show up. Walk the path you wrote out. And if you haven't written out the path, start with making the plan.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You guys have the plan and you have the open-minded, open-hearted, open-handed set of tools in order to facilitate the success in passion, purpose, and profitability in your life.
And take opportunity. That's another thing. Take opportunity, be open-minded. Don't be closed-minded. Maybe something that you're
try
not
things.
Great. Yeah, try things.
And just maybe know your timing and risk tolerance. Know your timing and risk tolerance. We're going to try things. You'll only be disappointed if it doesn't happen. You won't be guilty and resentful, which will stop you. Cast a shadow onto your future, which none of these two have done. There's only a bright light. Their futures are so bright. They have to wear hats to protect their head. Anyways, I love them both. Greg Lutzka, thanks for joining us, man. Let's do more. I'll see you soon. Let's have lunch.
Awesome. Thank you, James. Very good to meet
pleasure,
you,
brother. Pleasure, Greg. Keep likewise, man. Thanks for your time.
Oh, like thanks, you too. And David. Always a pleasure.
Yep. If you're in LA, I'm playing Intuit Dome August 26th. Obviously, David, you're invited. Greg, if you're around, come on up. It'd be fun to have you.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Send me the info. Give my info through Dave. I'll follow you on Instagram. We'll talk.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll be there August 26th with the girls who love James as well. Nice. He is family. He's like a son. James, takeaway of the day. Greg was dropping nuggets left and right. What do you got for us?
Man, takeaway of the day. You know, one thing that's sticking with me right now is he talked about how he didn't love practice. And some days you're going to have to learn to love the things that you don't love about the things you love. I probably said that poorly, David, but you said it a few times here. However, if you find yourself enjoying the practice where it doesn't feel like practice, maybe you're on the right path. You know, for me, when I started playing guitar, I was like, oh, this is so hard and I didn't want to practice. But then I found myself just hours a day playing, fooling around on piano. And guess what? I'm a much better piano player today than I am guitarist. So find your passion, find what doesn't feel like practice, and then maybe you'll have that light bulb moment. Maybe that's a path you should continue to go down.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I took that nuance as well when Greg said in ice hockey, it is structured and framed with practice and games. But there are other things that aren't. And in entrepreneurship, for me, I probably am one of the most well-rehearsed entrepreneurs. I have all these shows. I do interviews every day and speaking so many times a week. And all the things that I do now are not structured or framed as, this is a practice speech and this one's the game day speech with Aspire. And I really, it resonated with me when Greg said that there are times if you're going to participate in a structured framework like show day, right? You got game day. You know, I don't know how many dates are you doing this year?
We are increasing. I can't say exactly, but we're going to be close to 100 by the time we're done.
Yeah. So there's 100 or so or more game days that you have, but it's nice when you don't have to have formalized, structured practices for those game days. And that's true in business. That's true, of course, with what Greg was saying in skateboarding, because he had, you know, the X Games, what was game day. And I'm sure it felt different than when he was just skating for fun down at South Mission Beach, running the rails. But I think it's really a great distinction for this show. When you're a celebrity, an entrepreneur, that we need to learn to love not just the non-structured time that we get to play, not just the big game day, the big time rush that we get, no pun intended, from the big games, but just those structured things that we have to do or the people that annoy us, that love us. And we have to take that. I get to do, I am a man of gratitude when they come up and have those boundaries like you do, James. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, David. Always appreciate your time.
See you next week. Love you, brother.
Bye. Love you too.
I am so blessed to have Greg Lutzka and James Maslow as two of my friends, mentors, and mentees. The fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there, ask them for directions, as well as provide someone else directions. And these two guys do just that. This show is Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with James Maslow. I'm David Meltzer with the Office Hours series. We do more shows more often because we're just playing. Remember, most importantly, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. We'll see you next week. Peace.